Welcome everybody to this podcast on the importance of getting sufficient sleep. If anyone has ever worked with me or heard me speak, you'll know that I consider sleep to be an absolute essential, and I call it the fuel of your resilience and well-being. So I thought I'd invite a friend of mine here, introduce Anthony Watts to you. G'day, Anthony.
Howdy.
Anthony's a long-term chef, professional chef, but also a new father. So it's almost the ideal scenario for talking about sleep. So I thought we'd just have a bit of a yarn about your own sleeping strategies, Anthony, and then I might talk a little bit about some of the stuff I've learned in terms of helping people go through the sleep process. So, mate, how are you going with your sleeping?
At the moment, on a good night, I get about 6 hours and wake up once or twice to the baby crying for a feed.
Yep.
That's a good night.
And what, prior to little Quinn coming along, what was a good night's sleep for you?
6 to 8 hours was a good night.
6 to 8 hours, that's not bad.
And sometimes one wake up.
Yeah, okay, righto. So, what do you recognise about your own behaviour when you're going through disturbed sleep? As a chef, you're at high standards of excellence, I know. You manage a pretty busy restaurant and a pretty busy kitchen. What do you notice about yourself in terms of your own sleep patterns and your productivity around your sleep?
Well, the less sleep I have, I know I'm a bit more grouchy towards other staff members, and there's always that chance, they're always trying to go for that perfection. But when there's less sleep, you try even harder to make sure that it's even more perfect, to make sure that you don't have stuff up to overcompensate, if that makes sense.
And what does that mean for the dynamic of the kitchen? People get cranky with each other, or?
No, not as much anymore, because most people know what I'm like in those situations. And the last few weeks, everyone's just dealt with me. But yeah, in previous places when I was having lack of sleep and stuff like that, they just knew that's the way it was and did their job.
So at home, is Quinn sleep in the same room as you guys?
Yes.
What about Conan the dog?
No. Conan's outside now.
Outside now?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, he's just still in the house, but he's outside.
Yeah, outside the bedroom. Okay. And you've got mother-in-law staying with you?
Yes.
So the whole dynamic of the house is a little bit up,
yes,
up in the air,
it's
a bit?
It's a bit different at the moment.
So, how does Sarah sleep?
Sarah is... it's starting to level out a bit more, but she wakes up about 4 to 5 times a night.
Because Quinn's what, 2 months now?
6 weeks and 4 days.
Well, there you go, bang, bang.
Yeah. So she's starting to settle out and work out what she's doing. But it's still very much a, when she needs a feed, she wakes up. So Sarah's getting used to lots of broken sleep, but she doesn't care. So
yeah, that's right, yeah. The wonder of motherhood, mate.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
So when you're planning to get a good night's sleep, what do you do?
The lead up to it.
Yeah. What do you do? What do you learn to do?
Well, I've got on my phone from sunset now that take the blue light out of the phone. That helps a lot. I try not to use my phone going towards bedtime, but I still do. But try and have a shower. Being coming out of winter, make sure I'm warm and then go into bed and hopefully go straight to sleep. But usually it takes me about half an hour to settle.
Do you you exercise too, don't you?
Yes. Not a lot at the moment though.
But bike riding and
bike riding, running.
Do you notice the difference of sleep patterns?
It's a lot better when I do that more often. But with a newborn, I haven't done it that much.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I'm surprised by the amount of sleep you do get, because all the experts tell us that we should be getting about 7 to 9 hours sleep for adults, right? Yep. And there's some research done by Syracuse University, the sleep science over there, that said the best time to get to sleep is about 10:37, around that time, and about best time to get up is 5:51.
Hmm. Well, I've been getting up at 5 a.m. most mornings, so the last few weeks I've been going to bed at about 9:30, going to sleep anywhere between 9 and 10 depending on how, and then I'm up at about 3 to 5 a.m. depending on how I go. But
what, some, 3 to 5 a.m.?
Yep, I'm fully awake.
That 3 o'clock, mate, is the worst time.
Oh, it's a horrible time to wake up.
I reckon most people would wake up at some time in their life would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
For some reason. Well, there isn't actually a theory about it, but I don't know how accurate the theory is. There's a theory that says in the caveman days, we were only ever coded to work to sleep 4 hours because we're always under threat of being eaten by bloody dinosaurs or whatever. So if you get into bed at about 11, that's 3.
Yeah.
And then 3 to 7, you know. So our brains were only allowing us to sleep for 4 hours. But whether you believe that or not, I'm not quite sure.
Well, something I read a long time ago was up until the last century, people would wake up, they'd go to bed at when the night went down, up at, in the middle of the night for a couple of hours, had a tea and all that, and then went back to sleep until the sunrise.
Yeah.
So it was like 4, up for 3, 4 again or something like that. So.
Which makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yes. I know there's a bloody strategy around that. You go to sleep when the sun goes down, you get up when the sun comes up.
Yep.
Which makes a lot of sense, and when you think about it, from the people well-being point of view, that would mean that, say, the sun goes down at say 7 p.m., gets up at 6, that's 9 hours sleep. Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Maybe that's what we should be doing.
Maybe.
You mentioned blue light and your phone and all that type of stuff.
Yep.
What do you notice about blue lights?
They hold your attention a lot better. And using my wife's phone the other night, like, it hurt my eyes so much at night time looking at it. So I actually had to manually turn on the blue light thing because it just hurt my eyes looking at it. And she doesn't even notice.
Does she play games on it when she's trying to sleep?
She plays a lot of games. That's all her phone is games.
Mm.
So. Mm.
Because there's this book by Carol Harrington on Complete Guide to Good Night's Sleep. She talks about the effect of blue light restricting melatonin's coming out of your brain. So whilst you might actually getting asleep, you're not getting what you call restorative sleep, which is that where you go into, you know, the non-REM, then you go to the REM type stuff. And what it says is the blue light actually stops you. You go into level 1 non-REM, level 2 non-REM, but you don't go to level 3 non-REM, which allows you to go to REM. So actually asleep.
Okay.
But you're not getting what she calls restorative sleep. And restorative sleep is the stuff. See, a lot of people I work with, they say to me, "Oh, Dennis, I've got no problem going to sleep because as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm asleep." But they're awake 2 hours later because they're just sleeping through exhaustion, and that doesn't work for you.
You know, I don't. I sometimes have that problem, but not as much these days because I've learned to prioritize things differently and not to. When I walk out the door of the kitchen at the end of the night now, I'm not taking work home with me, which made a huge difference. When I used to take work home with me, getting to sleep, or I'd go to sleep as soon as I'd get home or just after for 2 hours, 3 hours, like you said, then be up, wake again, and then do it all. But that was back when I was doing 14, 15-hour, 16-hour days. So it was exhaustion, get a little bit of sleep, go back to work. So
what hours would you work now?
Currently 7 till 4 most days.
7 a.m. So you're at work by?
7.
By you, so you actually had work by 7. Okay, righto. So you're not serving in the kitchen at 7?
No, 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's not too bad. Yeah, they reckon that there's 3 things about getting good quality sleep. You got to have a good environment.
Yep.
Right, you got to have a bloody dark bedroom. Your bedroom dark?
Not at the moment. Because Sarah's finding it hard because the light's on my side of the room.
The curtain?
No, the lamp is on my side of the room, so it's easier to have it on at the moment. So Sarah can grab the baby and feed the baby and instead of trying to wake me up to, she can just do it all because she hasn't learned how to see in the dark yet. But she's getting better with it.
She'll learn.
Yeah.
How to see in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they talk about having dark rooms. They're having no technology in the room. You got a TV in your bedroom?
No.
No radio clock?
No.
Yeah, good man.
Only the phones, and I usually put the phone on charge in my drawers, like closed drawers, so I can still hear the alarm go off in the morning, but it's not easy to get for two reasons. One, so I actually get up to get my alarm. And two, it's not in my grasp of vision.
Yeah. So. I always put my phone on, I don't have a TV or radio clock, just to have my phone on flight mode.
Yep.
As long as it's not connected to the Wi-Fi, you don't get all those notifications during the night and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I used to have the iPhone had bedtime mode.
But
because my bedtime was always so different every night,
yeah.
It's kind of settled out now since I have more of a set finishing time than what I used to have. But that turns your phone on to like do not disturb, so you don't get all those.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't use that do not disturb feature. I should. Okay, so have a dark bedroom.
We used to have a dark bedroom.
Yeah,
you until we had a baby.
Yeah. Did you come from Queensland? Did you notice? Did you sleep better in Queensland? You're in Townsville, weren't you?
Yeah.
Did you sleep better in Townsville, where the sun's up at 4:30 most mornings or during
the summer? I sleep better here.
Yeah. I reckon it's a real, I honestly don't know how to
But it was a different part of my life as well, where I was very stressed out and had family issues and stuff like that. So I was very stressed out and didn't like life that much. Where now I like life, and prioritize stuff differently. Even when I was younger, I moved around a lot with Dad being in the army, I remember living in Perth, and apparently I slept well then by what my parents say.
See, liking life also helps you sleep better, I reckon.
Yep.
Because you haven't got, I call that the mindset. You've got to have the right mindset. If your head's racing and with all the troubles of the world and all the tension of the world, you're not going to be able to get to sleep.
No.
So how do you get rid of your tensions?
Without doing proper meditation or anything, I just kind of breathe and follow my breath for a couple minutes, and that just calms me and gets me not thinking about the world. And then, like, even normal meditation, when you do that and your mind wanders off, you just try and bring yourself back. But I don't do proper, like, sit down 10-minute stuff anymore. I did it for a while, but I just try and pay attention to what I'm doing as I'm doing it. Not so much just, I did sleep a lot better when I was doing regular meditation, but now I just do something I was listening to once. He does it wherever he can. If it's 5 seconds here, 2 minutes there, he just does it. He reckons he gets about 15, 20 minutes of meditation in a day, but it's when you get in the car, spend 10 seconds, watch your breathing, then drive off. When you get to a stop sign, watch your breathing. And that's all I do now.
I reckon the skill of life, you know what I've always said? That people who would look at mindfulness as an additional thing to do, don't get it.
Yeah.
Because if you're mindful if you're mindful, if you live a mindful life, you're going to be breathing mindfully. You're going to be eating mindfully. You're going to be walking mindfully. You're always going to be sort of present, you know? I know those people who don't actually, who see it as an additional thing. Oh, I better be mindful now.
Yeah.
They don't get it. So I think there are three areas you need to sleep well. One is the environmental stuff, like the environment you sleep in, the dark light, the dark curtains, no blue light as much as possible. Having things in your bedroom that give you a lot of joy, like photos and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I reckon the procedure of...
Yeah.
They reckon 45 minutes before you go to sleep, you sort of got to wind down.
Yep.
You can't go straight to bed. You got to have a shower. Yep. You've got to have a cup of tea. You have a
routine.
Yeah.
You create a routine.
And why do you reckon the routine's so important?
Because it helps you go to bed.
That's it. And the brain loves certainty, I reckon. Yep. The brain loves it. When they got the suit, you go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go have a shower. I'm going to have a cup of tea. I'm going to maybe watch a bit of relaxing TV or whatever. The brain says, oh, we're in the going to sleep mode.
Yep. And since this job and having that regular bedtime, I've got this, I don't have a full-on routine, but I've got a pretty set that come by 9:30, I'm ready for bed. I'm ready to go to sleep. It's routine does help.
Yeah. You're not a big drinker anyway, are you?
No.
So, yeah, the other thing they say is don't smoke before bed, don't drink before bed. Maybe go for exercise. That's why I thought, when you rode your bike home from the restaurant at night, that would be a good exercise for you. Allow you to rewind. And the other thing is the mindset.
Yes.
Making sure your mindset in a good space. Have you ever been lying there at 3 o'clock in the morning looking at the roof saying, go to sleep?
Yep.
What do you do there? What do you learn about yourself there?
Well, I usually have 3 or 4 options. One, try not to think and go back to breathing. And if that doesn't work, get up, go to the toilet. You know, sometimes you need to go without realizing you need to go because you've just woken up.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, try breathing again, try in different positions. And if all else fails, I get up and I stay awake.
Yeah.
But I always try and get back to sleep before I get up, because if I get up, I'm up until I go to bed the next night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a... I believe the worst thing you can be saying to yourself when you're trying to go to sleep is go to sleep, because you just won't. The brain will say, nah. But then you do that stuff. I think you do the breathing. I think you do the relaxation stuff. And sometimes it's okay to get up and read or do...
Yeah.
As long as you don't do anything. Don't get on your Facebook or don't do anything like that. It stirs the brain up. Okay, mate. Any other clues for us in terms of your own sleeping patterns and your own sleeping strategies?
No. I think that's it.
We're pretty right? Okay. Yeah. So, good sleep, you need good environment, you need a good mindset, and you need to follow the procedure like Anthony just said. Try and get something like 7 to 9 hours sleep. Don't get too stressed if you're not getting the 7 to 9 hours sleep. If you're not getting the 7 to 9 hours sleep, think about the value of napping during the day. Napping no longer than 20 minutes, though.
I didn't do 20 minutes, but when I was... working weird shifts and all that, naps in the afternoons on split shifts, I always did that.
Where'd you do that?
More where I work split shifts. Yeah. It's been a few years.
But physically where? In a car or did you
work? Usually on a couch somewhere.
No more than 20 minutes, mate, because otherwise the brain goes into REM and you don't want to go into REM.
Yep.
Okay, mate. Good work.
Thank you.
What's your name of the restaurant?
Cafe Largos.
Where's that based?
West Lakes.
Mate, get down there. I was there today. Great breakfasts and lunches and dinners. Okay.
See you.
Talk soon. Bye. Thanks, mate.